When I was in my early 20s, my parents decided to take our whole family on a trip, and my family at that point consisted of me, my two brothers, and one spouse, my brother Grant's wife, and they took us to the East Coast. They had been saving up, and they paid for this whole thing, mostly in the Massachusetts area, and we had a great time there. Well, just as I am now, I was a big baseball fan back then, and if we were going to go to Boston, I was not going to miss the opportunity to go to Fenway Park and see the Red Sox play. Problem was that the Red Sox were not scheduled to play while we were going to be there. The home game they had scheduled that was closest to the dates of our trip was 2 days before we were going to get there. So I decided to fly out by myself 3 days early so I could go see the Red Sox. Now, Boston's actually not a bad town to be in if you're on your own. There's a ton to do there. And so during my 3 extra days or 2.5, whatever it was, I did some of the sightseeing things that we weren't going to be doing as a family. And yes, one of those things was to go on a tour of Fenway Park and to see an amazing game that night. Very memorable experience for me. Well, I got another memorable experience during my time sightseeing alone in Boston at that time. Decided to go on one of those whale watching tours. And so this trip was scheduled to be an hour out into the ocean and then an hour out where the whales are supposed to be, hopefully, and then an hour back. And I was super excited to do this. I don't know about you, but I just think the ocean is amazing. And maybe it's just because we're from Minnesota. I don't know. But I think it's amazing. And I hadn't spent much time on it at that point in my life, so I was very excited. Time for the tour came, and I boarded the boat, and it was a beautiful day. We started out into the open ocean. And, you know, I'm by myself. I did the Titanic thing. I got right to the absolute tip front of the boat, and I put my arms out like this, and we were going over these big waves, and I was loving it. I was loving it. About 20 minutes into the trip, my head and my stomach started telling me that they weren't loving it as much as I was. I moved away from the front tip of the boat, thinking that would help, but it was too late. My body had begun down a path it was not going to retreat from. By the time the first hour was done and we had reached the place where the whales were supposed to be, I was back in the cabin at a table with my head down like this, trying desperately not to throw up. And then all the excited exclamations came from everyone around me. Look, whales! And I moved my head up for probably about 5 seconds to see humpback whales outside the windows. And I said, oh, that's cool. And I went right back down, and my head stayed there. Now, remember, that was, you know, we were to have an hour with those whales, and then an hour back to land, all the while the boat is rolling on these waves of the ocean. It was a miserable 2 hours all by myself on that boat. When we finally got back to land, you know, we got off the boat. I could have kissed the sidewalk. Instead, I walked over to a park bench next to the sidewalk, and I laid down on it. I was terribly sick still, but I was just so, so grateful that the ground underneath me was still and not moving. I laid there until a policeman came along and told me I cannot sleep on the park benches. So, so anyhow. While I was on that ship, I lost my equilibrium. Okay, my head got spinny, got out of whack, and it brought me down. Well, starting, I would say, this past Thursday morning, and I'm guessing Greg has had similar feelings, I've had some experiences that got my head spinning again, although not nearly in as nasty a way as on the boat. And actually, probably some of you have felt this way to some extent over the last few days as well. So Thursday morning started out for me, like I'm sure it was for you, reading what has become normal news, right? The spread of the coronavirus worldwide and increasing numbers in America. I think we were at 4 cases on Thursday morning in Minnesota. All people who had been traveling abroad, I believe. Well, you know, that wasn't too surprising. We knew it was going to come to Minnesota. I think the surprising thing on Thursday was that the National Basketball Association had suspended their season. That was a bit of a surprise. And then there was all this talk of the other sports playing out in front of empty arenas, right? We had a church board meeting that night, Thursday night, and we wrestled together whether or not we were going to need to cancel our Champions Forever event planned for 2 weeks from then. And mixed thoughts in that group. I was strongly of the opinion at that time that we had a window of time before the virus would reach the western side of Minnesota, right? And so we should really try to get this event in, because if we cancel it, who knows when we're going to be able to reschedule it, right? And so trying not to get caught up in panic, stay the course, let's keep the event on track. Felt really good about that decision until I got home. Started with my wife wondering aloud with me if that was really the right decision. I assured her that it was, and then I went in to watch the Minnesota Wild game on TV, and to my surprise, there was no game to be found, and so I jumped on the news, and sure enough, the NHL season had suspended. The Major League Baseball season had been pushed back. Spring training was canceled. No March Madness basketball at all this year. Whoa! Suddenly not feeling as settled about our decision on Champions Forever. So on Friday morning, I went over to Countryside Public Health first thing, see what they thought about us holding our event still. And the reaction there seemed to be, you know, yeah, this is hard to figure out right now, and it's probably okay. We don't have any cases of coronavirus in our five-county area. And we kind of agreed I would watch the Department of Health website, and if there was a case of coronavirus turning up in our area, or if the schools would close, we'd cancel the event. So I left there feeling at peace again about the decision. Until went back to my office. I looked up the counties where the positive test results for coronavirus had been, and I saw St. Cloud and the cities and Sioux Falls, and I began thinking, well, these are all places where Madisonites go somewhat regularly. What are the odds that someone who's been to one of those areas is going to be at our Champions Forever event? Pretty good. And I started getting email after email throughout the day on Friday. Christian organizations offering perspectives and cautions about passing offering plates and communion cups. Directions or discussions about how our healthcare facilities might quickly run out of beds and equipment if an outbreak comes on sudden and strong. And that being the main reason for the canceling of large group gatherings. The desire to make sure that there will be decent levels of care for each person who gets sick. Began seeing reports of churches in the Twin Cities canceling services. Oh, but we're not in the cities, right? We don't have gatherings over 250 here. We'll be okay. Felt good about things again. Until... this will be the last one now, okay. 9:30 Friday night. Kids have been put to bed. I'm about ready to turn my brain off and go play a video game because, you know, there's no sports to watch. So I'm going to play a video game. And Anna calls out from the other room, Dawson Covenant Church has canceled their services. And I'm like, no, I don't want to use my brain again today. But I did have to use my brain, so I went on and read the Dawson Covenant post and went back to the Department of Health recommendations, realized we were going to need to call a special board meeting Saturday morning, and you've already been told what the results of that meeting were, including the decision to cancel that Champions Forever event. So my head has been spinning since Thursday morning. How about yours? Never seen anything like this, right? Here's one definition out of a few for the word equilibrium from the dictionary. A state of intellectual or emotional balance. And another word offered there to explain equilibrium was the word poise. How about a definition of poise? Dictionary says, a stably balanced state, an easy, self-possessed assurance of manner. No angry outbursts marred the poise of the meeting. A particular way of carrying oneself. Life has gotten a little bit crazy and quickly. Might get crazier still. I am wondering this morning how our equilibrium is doing. Pondering to myself yesterday, what do you think the coronavirus looks like from God's perspective to him? Imagine being in God's shoes, able to see and know what is going on in every human life, in every animal life, every day. Oh, and then, by the way, he's keeping the entire cosmos rolling at the same time. It's fascinating, isn't it? Well, even before the coronavirus, God would have been observing every day on this planet roughly 150,000 people dying. That's what the internet says if you ask it how many people die each day. 150,000 people each day worldwide. God also would have been observing 360,000 people being born every day. So, remembering that God is capable of much more than we are, I would assume that there is perhaps a little celebration within the Godhead every time a baby is born, just like we celebrate those events here on earth. Meanwhile, God is aware of what's going on in the lives of those people who aren't on one of the poles of their lifetime. And so he probably has millions of moments every single day of pride and joy when people do good and right things. When these creations of his are actually doing the things that he intended for them to do. And then there would also, of course, be millions of moments of terrible grief in his heart, I would imagine, as he watches people choose evil or selfishness over good, and he witnesses the suffering that results from those decisions. And then, so as God observes those deaths that happen each day, the pain that people go through in dying, and the tears of the loved ones who are left behind. What do you think God feels in those moments? 150,000 of them each day. Well, as we often say around here, and this is because it says it in the Bible, Jesus was given to us as a picture of who God is. Right? He's given to us to so that we can look at him and understand what God's character is like. Well, how did Jesus feel about death? John 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that his friend Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Lazarus's sister Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. And the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Is it possible that as God observes our world, he rejoices 360,000 times a day and he weeps 150,000 times each day? From our perspective, coronavirus is scary. Okay, it may and likely will bring death upon people in our community, perhaps even death to some of our loved ones, perhaps even death to you or me. Deaths that come sooner than they would have otherwise, right? So it's scary. Our culture has held on to some of the values that Jesus taught us. In this instance, it's the value that each human life matters. And so our government leaders and healthcare leaders ask us to take steps to prevent the quick spread of this disease. And that's good. That's love for the neighbor, right? We value life because life is a gift from God. And so we all fight together for life, and we fight to help people live healthy and well, as we should. But the question was earlier, so what does coronavirus look like from God's perspective? Well, coronavirus, as of yesterday, has killed 5,821 people worldwide over the last 3 months. More to come. If you were up in heaven, watching 150,000 people die every day, would 5,821 deaths over the last 3 months from this illness seem like unusual business or business as usual? Doesn't mean that God doesn't care about the impacts of this virus. Each of those 5,821 people who have died have names and stories and loved ones who care deeply about them, just as the 150,000 people who die each day do. And we suggested that God weeps for each one. But I guess the point here is that even though these seem like highly unusual days we have entered into right now, and they are highly unusual in many ways, in the grand scheme of things, this isn't really all that different from what goes on day in and day out on this planet. Whether from the coronavirus or for some other cause, each of us will one day be one of those 150,000 people who die. And the God who made us has sent a message to us through the Bible about that situation that we find ourselves in. The biblical message in a nutshell can be described in this way. This is not the way things were intended to be. Death and suffering are here because of sin. Sin has not only marred the earth, but it can keep us away from God eternally. But God did something for us that we could not do on our own. He made a way for people to be saved from the penalty of their sins by sending his son Jesus to pay the price we owed. And that gift of salvation from sin can be applied by God now to any person who turns from sin and turns back to God, to any person who bows the knee, makes Jesus their Lord. Those actions open up a path to heaven for that person, the Bible says. An eternity without death or pain or coronavirus. Amen. So this is good news for people who are all going to die one day. Good news. Part of the impact from that good news for those who have acted upon the message of the Bible and have come into a saving relationship with their Creator is that even while we live in this crazy world, we can find equilibrium when circumstances come upon us that otherwise would have caused our heads to spin. We're quickly moving towards finding out what life is like without any public gatherings at all, or even to be able to watch on TV. And that feels bizarre and unsettling, and it might make you feel a little spinny in your head. I don't know. Far worse would be if what is happening in Italy right now, what happened in China, etc., if that starts to happen here in Madison with more sick people than we have resources to care for those people or hospital beds. That certainly might give us reason to think that we might lose our poise. You or I might find ourselves as one of the seriously ill people in the coming months. That too would be a reason for feeling unsettled about things. But as many have said and are saying out there right now, when you have Jesus as your friend and Savior, you can find poise and equilibrium even in the midst of events that might otherwise have brought you down. If we've given our lives and our circumstances over to Christ, made him our King and Lord, we can trust him then to be involved in our lives and our circumstances. I've always looked at it this way. I don't know about you. I've always thought, if God still has work for me to do here on this planet, I'm not going to die, right? Okay. When he decides it's enough, it'll be enough. And I have to be okay with that. If the God who loves me decides it's enough, yeah, I've got to be okay with that, right? But I'm not going to die before then. And since I know that I am going to go on a trip to heaven when I actually do die, I can find equilibrium even in that most extreme of scenarios. If I become sick, I can attack that with poise as well. Confident that God is going to one day come to my rescue. He might come to my rescue tomorrow. He might come significantly longer than that. But one way or another, God's going to make it right in the end. He's promised this. I'll be okay in the future. You will be okay in the future if you've given your life over to him. So you and I can have poise and peace even in sickness. Doesn't mean it won't be hard. Doesn't mean we're not going to have our weak moments, right? But we have access to equilibrium because of Christ. So I guess if we can have poise when facing sickness and death, then we probably are going to be able to find ways to maintain our equilibrium if we have to live for a while without toilet paper or hand sanitizer or sporting events. There are things bigger than dying, you know. The Bible says our souls live on after the end of these bodies, so they apparently are bigger than death. Eternity is bigger than bodily death. The God who is big enough to know the intimate details of 360,000 births each day, 150,000 deaths each day, and the circumstances of the other 7 billion people walking on this earth each day, that God is bigger than death. The Bible describes him in these ways in the book of Job. This is the God who laid the earth's foundation, who marked off its dimensions, who made the clouds the earth's garment, who halts the waves of the sea, who is the father of rain, and from whose womb comes the ice. This God brings forth the constellations in their seasons and leads the bear out with her cubs. He knows the laws of the heavens and sends the lightning bolts on their way. This is the God who gives the horse his strength. The eagles soar at his command. This God is bigger than death. And his love? His love cannot be defeated. Throughout the centuries, the words of God's servant, the Apostle Paul, have rung out. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There are things bigger than death. Things bigger than coronavirus. God's love is bigger. And if you've come into a relationship with the living God, you will find that your relationship with him is bigger and more powerful than death. It cannot be lost. And that God that we just described, as Shelley said earlier, guess what? He's not surprised about anything that happens. His head doesn't spin. We can place our trust in him. So yeah, God is really, really big. He gives us reason for poise and peace no matter our situation. Well, I don't know if we're going to meet again next Sunday, honestly. As my email said yesterday, we're in such a rapidly changing environment right now. I think the church board is probably going to have a weekly conversation about whether or not we carry on with Sunday services or cancel them. I want you to understand that the church board here is trying to balance two very important things, and every other church is trying to balance these two things right now as well. We take the lives of those in our community who could be at high risk for contracting coronavirus very seriously here. We want to do the right thing for the whole community, not just for our church members. We want to be good citizens and heed the calls from our leaders. However, we also take very seriously the act of meeting together to worship the Lord every week. The dedication to getting up every Sunday morning and coming to church demonstrates the priority with which we try to hold God in our lives. That would be top priority. So ceasing to meet together, therefore, is not something that we do lightly. So your church board will be trying to balance those two important things as we have our discussions. We will continue to prayerfully consider all the information out there and make the best decisions we can for you as we head into the coming weeks and months. Please pray for us as we do that. And you know, if we do have to stop meeting together, that's not going to stop us from being his disciples, is it? Meeting together regularly as a church is a really important thing. But if we have to stop, there will be plenty of opportunities still to worship, pray, learn, love, serve, share the good news, the tasks of a disciple. In fact, I'm guessing if things get bad in Madison here, there are going to be plenty of ways in which we're going to be able to serve and show love to people, don't you think? So, if things continue to get crazy, just continue to do what you're already trying to do in your life. Be a Jesus follower. Don't be panicky. Be stable. Be composed. Maintain confidence in your God and trust him. Be his hands and feet in our community. Be light in the darkness. Bring light into the darkness. Live life to the full. And look forward to the goal of meeting Jesus one day. When the world gets spinny around you, let God keep you balanced, poised in equilibrium. I'll close then with the words of Jesus. It's always good to hear his words. He once said this, "The one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment a torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. But as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it." May our lives be like that unshakable house, thanks to the Lord. Amen.